This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
When we do our meetings, we go, we take the average of like the high grades from the fall, and we work, you know, from the top down. And when we started the safety position, there's a couple good ones that we liked. But Dylan's tape popped out, like just the sense of urgency that he plays with, the speed. We talk about taking the air, you know, out of the defense or out of the offense. His ability to close on the football, both in the run and the pass, stood out really, really quick. And as we watched it, the comments you could hear, I mean, this guy is obsessed with football, plays fast. He's extremely smart, great leader, violent in the way that he plays the game, everything that we're looking for. Then on top of that, you have some versatility. If he has to, he can go over and play a little bit of nickel. He can play free, he can play strong. So really good fit for what we're trying to do.
Sounds like a top 10 draft pick to me. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. That was Ryan Poles talking about your newest starting safety, Dylan Thienemann from the University of Oregon. 6 foot, 201 pounds, fast as hell, violent, like Ryan Poles pointed out. And the versatility is what stood out the most, right? The ability to play both safety positions, the nickel, extremely fast. Some would say, you know, neck and neck with Caleb Downs, the first safety taken out of the University of Ohio State. But high praise, nonetheless. Seems like everyone has high praise for Dylan Thienemann. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact he makes on the team. And it's ultimately what you wanted, Bears fans. You wanted a day one starter out of your first round draft pick. Not someone who you wanted to develop. Not someone who you're hoping for. Someone that you can slot right into that position. And it's what they did. And if we think about the holes that exist on this Bears team, there are holes. Or there are positions that need upgrades, is what I should say. But there are few that could have used an immediate starter, right? If you brought in a cornerback, was he going to supplant Tyreek Stevenson? If you brought in a linebacker, were they going to supplant T.J. Edwards? And it wasn't going to be Devin Bush, right? The left tackle, are you sure he's going to be better than Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict? Maybe, but not for sure. If you brought in an edge, you'd have to go up against Austin Booker, Dio Adangbo, Shamar Turner. So grabbing a safety and having a surefire starter in your on your defense via day one draft pick, you really knock it out the park with that one, especially when one that everyone speaks so highly of. So again, we're taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Dave on the Northwest side. So Dave, did you not like the draft that the Bears had?
Listen, we lost the whole backfield out of our defense, right? 19 interceptions. This guy is a ball hawk. He had to replace. This was a need that had to be done, right? Now, first of all, a pass rush, they've been drafting tackles and defensive linemen, and they do nothing. So this is about putting people in a place where the coach, defensive coach, can make this work. Just like last year. No pass rush. We led the league in turnovers, right? That's not going to happen again this year. And also, we won 7-8 games in the last 2 minutes last year. That's not going to happen, too. So you have to start finding ways to put people in positions to win. You know, you replaced the need. You lost the whole backfield of safeties, Brisker, Birdall. Look, We have plenty of things on the offensive side. We don't need that, right? I don't want to hear about we need a wide receiver. No. We need just to watch this. Now the Bears next year, we were like ninth in scoring. What is the NFL? NFL is more scoring than defense. All you have to do is allow 20 points on defense, and with the Bears' offense as good as it's going to get, and hopefully better, they're going to score. They might be in the 30s.
Yeah, I mean it's ultimately what you want, right? To be able to, you know, defense wins championships, though. You know, so you got to stop those teams from putting up a ton of points. I guess my question to you, Dave, right? When you're obviously you're honing on the fact that the Bears need defense, but do you feel like they wasted a first round pick, or do you feel like Dylan Thienemann is going to be the guy that's going to make a huge difference on this team?
I watch this. How can he not? Like I said, you just got rid of this guy's going to step
that's
right
great.
In. that's a silly question to me. I mean, it's like, why? What do we need right now here? We lost, three, four. Are the people that left as the safeties and the cornerbacks, how many interceptions were there? 19?
A ton.
Now listen to me. So I went back to 85 Bears defense, right? They had 47 turnovers, 29 interceptions, and 20 turnovers as far as fumbles. And they had a pass rush. We had 33 last year with no pass rush, which means it's all about the scheme and the blitzing. I mean, and you know the whole blitzing thing, too. When you blitz, you live by the blitz and you die by the blitz, too. So you have to have people that understand the backfield as safeties to understand. They have to be ball hawks.
That's what they got to be. I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for the call. 312-644-6767. Taking your thoughts on Bears first-round pick Dylan Thienemann out of the University of Oregon. You know, the Bears college scouting director, Breck Ackley, just had some really high praise. If you get the opportunity to go take a listen to his thoughts and how he describes Thienemann's, you know, football acumen, how everything you saw on tape matched up with what everything that every coach said about him. And so you love a lineman like that, right? Where a player's skill set holds true throughout the entire scouting process. And where obviously it's the scouting director's job to find the flaws, to find the inconsistencies in tape and scouting reports to what, you know, truly is in front of you. So for them to be doing their due diligence and to come up with nothing, to still say, no, this dude is exactly what you see. He's a guy that loves football. And I mean, it's really cool that the Bears were able to get a guy like that. And I'm, like most of us, extremely excited to see, you know, what he's going to look like in a Bears uniform specifically on this Bears defense. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, 104.3 The Score, again, leading you all the way up till 5 o'clock, live and local for you. Bears do a draft pick. We want to make sure you got a sounding board, and that's exactly what we are. The pregame show with Dustin Rhodes starts at 5. Mully and Hall come on after that. They got Brad Biggs at 7. Dave Wonstadt coming on at 8 o'clock, and some heavy hitters throughout the day. So make sure you're hanging out with us here on 104.3 The Score. But let's go back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tony out in Indiana. Tony, thoughts on the Dylan Thienemann pick? Getting yourself a starting safety.
Hey, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it, man. And I love your old high school, too, man, Lane Tech, man. But look, man, the reason for the call, not only am I loving the pick, but I hope that Poles trade number 57, right, and then pick up an additional third. And the number 60 pick, get the best defensive end. And then that way we could get that DT in that center that we were looking for.
I like where you're going.
That's just my thoughts.
No, Tony, I like where you're going, because, you know, we were talking earlier and we thought, all right, 57, you go best, you know, defensive end available, which could, most people are saying it's probably going to be Gabe Yakis that's still there at 57. Mm-hmm. And then at 60, it's like, oh, position of need, you know, getting a center that you can go maybe. But you're right. If 57, if somebody wants to jump up and if they're feeling froggy, give them the opportunity. Drop down to 61, because obviously, you know, whoever you – like a center is going to be there. No one's going to leapfrog you to take a center in the second round. So if you could pick up an extra third, while getting a second. I like that one. 57 might be the one to move off of. Okay, Tony. We might need to get you up to Halas Hall. Go ahead and make some moves up there. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Hey, Tony, wait, one more question for you.
What's up?
You said you love Lane Tech. Is it because, like, your ex went there or something like that?
Actually, man, we played them in football, man, back in the day, man. And I always loved that school. I almost went there. But I didn't.
I heard that a lot. Hey, Tony, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling it in. 312-644-6767. I was trying to explain to someone who isn't from Illinois about Lane Tech. I was trying to explain to them. They're like, well, I hear about it. But I'm like, Lane Tech, I go, when you tell people you went to Lane Tech, you get two different responses. The first is they try to mock you because it's a smart school, you know.
Yeah, like, you have to apply to get in there.
Oh, you're a Lane brain. You know, they try to mock you, and then you're like, oh, you're an idiot that couldn't get in. Or, you know, they went there and you're, you know, like, oh, Dad, you went to Lane, or I went to Gordon, or I went, you know, schools that are nearby. You get a little bit of love. So it's one or the other.
I knew a couple of people. I mean, my grandfather went to Lane Tech too.
Oh, when it was all men?
Yes, yeah. Like in the 1950s.
Sure.
But like when I had a couple buddies who went to Lane Tech as well, and I asked them, I didn't go to high school in Illinois. I went to high school in Oklahoma, and right. That's where I went to school and college as well. But I asked them, like, hey, how is it? Because all I hear is like good stuff because my family went there and stuff. He's like, it's okay. I was like, what? Like, you know, it's a very prestigious school to go to in Illinois. If you show like on a resume to a college or
100%.
Somewhere else that you went to Lane Tech, that's a pretty good boost because there's been a lot of people go through there. It's just like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, my dad went to Lane Tech, and, you know, as a kid growing up, for those of you that are familiar with the city, I went to Lincoln Elementary in Lincoln Park, and my dad was like, So my sister is older than me, and she was going to Lincoln Park, the high school, Lincoln Park High School. And I went to Lincoln Elementary. They're right down the block from each other. And so my assumption, because all my friends were going to Lincoln Park, and they have an IB program there, International Baccalaureate Program. And so I thought I was going to go there. I was in the gifted program at Lincoln. And then my dad was like, what? He's like, if you get accepted into Lane Tech, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? I thought I was going there. He's like, no, absolutely not. So I didn't even have a choice. I got accepted into Lane, and he was like, yeah, that's where you're going. But I can see where your friend, you know, you can have, it's such a big school.
Let me ask you another question. Did you have to take public transportation to get to Lane Tech living in Lincoln Park? Because I know a friend, because like my friend, he lived in right outside of like, Rosemont and stuff like that. Yeah. So he had to travel like deep, you know, to get to Lane Tech.
Yeah,
so.
Rosemont's far. No, so Lincoln Elementary, which is in Lincoln Park, I actually was bused there. So it was like a selective enrollment school. So now we're getting deep in the woods here. I tested into Lincoln Elementary as a kindergartner.
I mean, it's 3 a.m.
I know,
Friday
right?
Night.
This sounds right. This sounds like exactly right for what's going on. But when I was in kindergarten, I went to Pulaski Elementary, which is right off of Armitage in between Western and Damon, because I'm a Northsider. And so I went there and they wanted to skip me a grade. But then they were like, we can skip him because that's where my sister was going to elementary school. She's like, oh, he can take a test to go into Lincoln Elementary. So I go to Lincoln Elementary, or I take the test as a kindergartner to go there. And then they have to bus you. So wherever I lived in the city, they would send the school bus to come get me to take me, you know, over there. So actually, my commute to Lane Tech, I still lived on the north side at the time. So my commute, like my dad would drop me off because he would go to school in the morning. So I would, and then I played sports. I would take the bus home from Lane Tech, but my dad would drop me off early as hell. And then, you know, I played basketball and football at Lane Tech. So the majority of my school year was spent, you know, after school practicing, which now that I think about it, Grant, did you play any sports in high school?
Yeah. Soccer, football, basketball.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what's up. So you don't realize when you're a kid, like how late practice goes till. You know, I was getting home at like 7:30, 8 o'clock from school after practice. And I think about it now as an adult with three kids, my bedtime's at 8 o'clock right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, my kids all go to bed at 8. I'm laying down at 8. I went to bed at 8 o'clock today and woke up at 11 to come to work. But it's just like, what a contrast, you know, from a kid still getting out of school at 8 o'clock from practices nowadays.
Well, for me, it was always, I never realized it until like probably high school, because mm-hmm. me and my brother are only three years in age apart, but 2 grades apart, because I got held back for reasons, because Illinois and Oklahoma, like, their schooling system is different. So like, I got held back, and I actually was glad to, because I graduated with people that were born in my year, but my brother graduated with people that were older than him. So he was like two of like 140 people that were older than him graduating. Right, right. But like, he started sports when I was in high school, starting high school, driving, and he was in middle school. He started sports at 7 a.m. So we were waking up at like 5:30, getting there at 6 so he can get ready for football practice. Yeah. And I'm sitting there an hour early and at my locker, not doing a single dang thing.
That's great.
And after you get to high school, then you realize how late you go.
You realize how late or earlier, for that matter, right? That you're going to certain places. But so shout out to all my Chicago Public School kids. We're all out here together. CPS. Don't be making fun of the CPS education. I hate when people do that too much. But I am Gabe Ramirez, your Lane Tech alum. UIC alum as well. I'm not going to keep going deep into the woods. But am here, 104.3 The Score, talking to you live and local, because the Bears had a draft pick yesterday. It's what you've been waiting for. It was a quiet draft because it wasn't a lot of quarterbacks, even though Ty Simpson shocked the world by getting into the top 15. But nonetheless, the Bears somehow, some way, despite not being in the top 10, got a draft pick at 25 that feels like a top 10. And we're taking your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Now we're going to talk to Sebastian, who's out there in Naperville. Sebastian, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Chilling.
I would just like to say this right now, because I've been following the draft since I was a kid. Forever.
Okay.
And I didn't even think we were even get this guy. The fact that the Bears got this guy, and don't even understand how, like, immensely talented this guy is. Just not
what
just
stands out the most, Sebastian? What stands out the most to you?
His actual recognition. So he runs a 4.35, but he has a gameplay recognition that's amazing. So when, you know, back in the day, when you have a safety that runs 4.5, they can understand the game and they recognize plays earlier. They run like a 4.4. He runs a 4.35 and he understands the game and he can see angles better than before and just does this. He literally, his football speed is going to be incredible. All the scouting report says he's pretty, like, he has a high football IQ. But for him to understand the game, and you never see a safety at 4.35, 41-inch vertical, 10.5 broad, I'm sorry. And he came from Purdue, and then he did a whole different coaching system in Oregon. Oh, my God. I actually thought he was going to be gone in the top 15. I thought Minnesota was getting him, I believe, at like 16 or 18.
18.
The fact that he dropped to us at 25, because I thought the Bears might even trade down. I am ecstatic. And, yes, him and Kobe are, like, similar type of players. I think he's going to be more of a free safety. Kobe will be a strong safety. But this is for a day one pick. And I know people wanted to get an offensive tackle, all that stuff. I'm not sure. With Caleb Lomo, I was not all there with at a left tackle, and apparently they're giving Braxton Jones another chance, and we got a couple options. But this pick, in terms of football IQ, measurables, and just normally every draft, there's always a number one player I wanted to get, and we never get them.
And this was the guy for you. I think when you're looking at 25, Sebastian, you know, it would have been the 7th best offensive tackle. It would have been the 6th best defensive edge. And instead, you get the 2nd best safety in the draft, right? Because Caleb Downs obviously goes early. And outside of that, it's Dylan Thienemann. So everyone else is the one that keeps stockpiling other teams. And, you know, when you think about what Ryan Poles was saying, best player available, well, damn. is the best player, the second best safety versus the seventh best tackle, the sixth best, you know, defensive edge.
I not only agree with you, I would even go this, and I love Caleb Downs, don't get me wrong. I'm not sure Thinneman's that off from Caleb Downs. You don't understand. Caleb Downs is on a stacked team. They got like seven, like how many first rounders?
I know, it was insane, eight? Right?
I mean, that just makes it, I'm not taking anything away from him. But Thinneman on everything that he did, Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, and he goes to a whole different system. Dennis Allen is going to have a field day with the two players he have. And I know everyone's like, oh, we need an edge rusher. No, we really need a defensive tackle, which I'm thinking, I'm hoping. But if we get a DT or defensive end, Gabe Jackus or Cade McDonald, I don't think Cade McDonald's going to actually slide that far. But we got two picks in the second. I am just best player available at a position of need. And don't get me wrong, I love Jaquan Brisker. What he did in the Rams game,
epic.
He was all world. It's insane. He's the
Sebastian.
Dude.
It sounds but Sebastian. It sounds like you're saying the Bears got the steal of the draft so far.
I think of one of the yes. I would be. I could not, and I followed the draft since I was a kid, and I'm talking a kid. I grew up, you know, I graduated sure. high school in the 90s.
Sure.
This, like, I know from way I. You know how bad I was? I thought Tony Mandridge was the best offensive tackle since John Hanna, and I was so wrong on that. So I realized I don't know my stuff either. But to have Dylan Thiedemann at 25 when I already thought it was – I thought they had Harrison Smith. It's gone to Minnesota. I'm like, oh, they didn't pick it. And then, you know, the Rams picking Ty Simpson
yeah.
when they're – literally in playoff contention. I know Matt Stafford is saying he's all really happy about it and, you know, I'm going to mold him. No, you got to got Kenyon Sadiq or something. I don't know what they were doing. I sometimes think those guys in here, they're way too smart for themselves. No, this is Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer, guaranteed, first ballot. Bring him some players, but then again, remember back in the day, Aaron Rodgers was upset that Jordan Love got drafted when he wanted a player.
Yeah.
And the team was like thinking, hey, we need, you know, but, you know, they really believe. I'm never a fan of anyone that only played 50. He might be a 4-year person, but only had 15 starts. Ty Simpson's, I wouldn't have wasted a 15th or 13th pick on that guy, but, you know, hey. Sean McVay is way smarter than I am, so I'm not going to argue that. We'll just argue it later. But the way the draft fell, for us to get Dylan Thiedemann, to me, is one of the absolute steals of the draft. At 25, when most projections are having him top 15, top 18, top 20 at the least.
At the very least. And the Bears got him at 25, and I think you're right. I think he has the potential to be a steal of the draft. Right. I mean, obviously, there is some amazing talent at the top of the draft. Right. But in terms of value, what you're getting at 25, I mean, geez, if he and you're on the Bears already, a team that, you know, made a playoff run last season and you get to be an impact player on a squad like that, your celebrity will rise quickly in this town, if that is the case. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score, live and local, man. That's the beauty of this station, right? The Bears on the clock, and then all of a sudden, oh, you're driving around in the middle of the night and you want to hear about you? Yes, we do not do national coverage here. No, we are getting you hooked up with some with what's going on, and that's included your phone calls. We've had analysis from some of the best in the biz. On the other side, we'll get an opportunity to hear from Ryan Poles and what he had to say about Dylan Thiedemann. And we got a chance to talk to Chris Emma, who was at Hallis Hall all the way to midnight. So just, you know, really taking care of you. But again, I'm going to be hanging out with you guys till 5 o'clock. That is when Dustin William Rhodes takes over. He's going to give you an update on all things Chicago sports, including the Cubbies that are red hot, the Cubs that are red hot, excuse me. The White Sox, who have been playing well, now have won two series in a row, and they start their latest against the Washington Nationals. So, you know, got you covered here. Getting ready to take care of you. But phone lines are open, all right? 312-644-6767. You heard Sebastian mention it. Steal of the draft. Do you feel like that yourself when you're thinking about Dylan Thienemann? Or are you a little salty that the Bears didn't draft an edge rusher? 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
So my pre-draft process, really at the combine, I had a formal with them that went really well. I feel like I really connected with all the guys there. And then I hadn't talked to them too much, but I knew that they had a lot of interest in me. So that was kind of most of the conversations that we had. And I mean, I know a little bit about the Bears history. Like, I grew up not too far away from Chicago. So I know a decent amount there.
It's Dylan Thienemann talking about chatting with the Chicago Bears during the pre-draft workouts and then not hearing from them again. I'm sure the Bears probably felt that he wasn't going to be available. You know, you can have your wish list, so to speak, but you also, you know, do your own mock drafts where you're assuming where certain guys are going. And so, you know, I mean, who knows either way? The fact of the matter is it doesn't matter because he ended up there. Dylan Thienemann, your 25th pick in round one of the 2026 NFL draft, is your newest member of the Chicago Bears. Played safety at Purdue, then at Oregon. His college resume, you know, freshman of the year, defensive freshman of the year in the Big Ten. I mean, says a lot. Three-year starter, size. NFL.com's Lance Zierling said he got the size, the speed, the alignment, versatility, and he's a safety who can play rangy, deep, or roll down into the nickel robber look, which is great. During his career in college, over the course of 39 games, 306 tackles, 10 tackles for a loss. To me, that stands out. 2 sacks, which I've already predicted he'll have that in his first year with the Chicago Bears. 8 interceptions, 14 pass breakups, 2 forced fumbles. As I mentioned, he had 6 interceptions his freshman year, which means he only had 2 over the course of the next 2 seasons. Look into that. Ran a 4.35 40, which is insane. 41-inch vertical, 10.5-foot broad jump, and did the 225 bench press 18 times. PFF had him rated as the number 2 safety in the draft behind Caleb Downs. And if you were listening to David Syverson with Mullion Hall last week, he had him pretty much neck and neck with Downs. And so to be able to get that level of productivity, that type of player, you know, surefire starter from the very beginning, says a lot, you know, says a lot about what the Bears are getting in this situation. So, you know, he seems like he's just your modern safety, right? The one kind of like Kyler Gordon was your modern nickel, played cornerback at Washington. Which actually, I never even put that together, that he played at Washington instead of, like, because they played a different time. But that's awesome. So, you know, he is the modern one. He's fast. He's versatile. He's productive. And, you know, the Bears taking him at 25th, you heard a lot about the scouting director, Mr. Ackley, talk about his combine numbers is what really solidified everything, right? Where what you saw on tape, what you know of him from your scouting process, but then to see it firsthand, you know, says a lot. And so the appeal was simple, right? He's a guy that can play multiple positions in the Dennis Allen defense and help disguise a coverage when need be and can be a potentially an impact player on this squad. So, again, it'd be interesting to see how this thing plays out. Cannot wait for some preseason football to see, you know, what kind of effect. Now, he's going to have his bumps and bruises, guys. Let's not assume he's going to be some Pro Bowl safety from the very beginning and play mistake-free football. He's still a rookie that's coming in. So we have to give him grace. But the fact of the matter is your safety position is now shored up. You have Cam Lewis. You got Elijah Hicks as your depth pieces. And then you have Kobe Bryant and Dylan Thienemann as your starters. So safety is set, folks. Check it. Cross it off the list. No need to look at safeties. No need to think what a McNeil Warren would look like as a member of the Chicago Bears. But I'm curious your thoughts. Thoughts about the draft pick. Thoughts about what direction the Bears should be going in. Text messages are coming in. The text line and phone lines, obviously, same number. 312-644-6767. From the 407, he says, good morning, Gabe. 407 says, what's up? I don't even know where 407 is. I got to go look that up. It says, go Bears, but what about the trenches? Was there nobody we thought was worth drafting for the D-line? You got to go and look. It would have been the sixth best edge rusher taken at 25. Think about that. Five others that, and two of them are still available in TJ Parker and, you know, Mr. Young that's still available as well. So those guys didn't get picked by anyone. You know, the sixth and seventh best, and Gabe Yakis is still out there. So there's multiple defensive ends that are to be had in the second round. So I think, again, 407, which I'll find out where you're from in a second, the fact that you can get a starting fill-in-the-blank, right? You've drafted a starting fill-in-the-blank. If it was the defensive end that you would have got, I don't know, Austin Booker wouldn't have taken kindly to that. Dio Dangbo wouldn't have taken kindly to that. I'm sure they would have had something to say about who's going to be starting in that position. So I think, you know, that's the take right there. 773 says, Lane Tech football fell off. What the hell?
I don't even know.
I mean, yes. When you have 4,000 kids, you're bound to be able to get 11 that can play football. So when you say fall off, I mean, they actually did well last year.
We need 22 to play.
Yeah. Well, 11 could play both sides of the ball. Have you ever played public school football? You got to play both sides of the ball sometimes. You know,
yes, but at the same time, I don't want my 11 players playing 60 to, well, yeah. I don't know what the regulation is because down south it's 12 minutes a quarter. So
Yeah, same over here. Another 773 says, my daughter's a junior at Taft. So I was trying to throw out some love to some other CPS schools. Shout out to Taft. Taft has changed its ways for sure. I remember when I played basketball at Lane Tech, we would go up to Taft. And the only reason you would know, like, you thought Taft was weird because they had, like, a rubber court.
So, yeah, I heard that the suburbs are a lot harder to play. Like, they're the ones that are, like, winning, like, the state championships in football.
Yeah.
But then, like, CPS is dominating basketball, which is not a huge assumption to make.
Yeah, I mean, it holds true.
You got, like, the Anthony Davises, Dwayne Ways, the D-Rose coming through the CPS system. So, like, that's going to obviously be the ones that...
Dwayne Wade actually went to Richards, and Anthony Davis went to a school called Hope. So neither one of them CPS kids. But the Chicago basketball pipeline... exists.
Okay, Jabari Parker and Derrick Rose. There you go. CPS.
I like that. I love when you say those names. Those get me excited when you say those guys right there. But
there you go.
As is everybody else.
407, where do you think it is from?
Oh, geez. Oklahoma.
No.
407.
It's close. 405 is from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. 407, Milwaukee.
No.
What is it?
It was actually closer to Oklahoma.
Oh, damn. What is it?
Florida.
407's Florida?
Orlando.
Oh, my God. Well, shout out to my Orlando. I'll be seeing you guys in 2 weeks when I'm out there in Disney World.
But that's not Disney World, though.
Isn't Orlando Disney World?
No. Yeah. Technically, no. Orlando, Disney World's in Poughkeepsie.
It's not in Orlando?
It's not in Orlando city limits.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because don't they
say the only reason I know that is because I saw a stand-up where the guy, he got aggravated because he's actually from Orlando.
Oh, jeez.
But Disney World is in Poughkeepsie.
Well, because I always thought, you know, because it's Disney World and the ORL.
Yeah, it's right next to
Orlando.
Yeah. I don't know if Disneyland's actually in L.A., you know?
I see what
that's why
saying.
It's called land.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like the Bears in Arlington Heights. Like, we'll still be the Bears. Disney World could still be, like, say you're Orlando, but it's not really.
Yeah, more like Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park.
fair enough. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Joe out in Schaumburg. Joe.
Hey, how are you, man? Good to talk to you again.
Likewise, man. Here we are. Getting to talk about the new starting safety for the Chicago Bears. How exciting is that?
It really is. Chicago needed it. And I'll be real honest. I thought losing Bird was a little bit of a, you know, I'm going to miss him, but I think we found a good prospect in Dylan. So,
so obviously the Bears still have, you know, a lot of draft capital available to them. Some people, obviously, you know, thinking the Bears. It's so funny, Joe, because everyone's like, Bears need help on the defensive line. Bears need an edge. Bears need an edge. Bears draft Dylan Thienemann, and everyone's like, that's a good pick. Like, that's a good pick. No one's batting an eyelash at that. They're like, I love it. This is great. This is great for me. But you have other positions on your mind, don't you?
I do also. I wanted to, you know, kind of go. I know Dolman retired, correct?
Yes.
For the Bears center. So are we going to address that? And if we did address that, what do you think about Pat Coogan, who's a starting center for Indiana, who played right underneath, the quarterback? And I think that'd be a good opportunity for the Bears as a starting center.
So they ended up getting a guy named Garrett Bradbury from the Patriots. And Garrett Bradbury was a guy who was part of the same free agency class as Drew Dolman. So the Bears were very well versed Bradbury. Okay. And then what ended up happening was the Patriots, because I asked the question, I'm like, well, why would they give up on him, right? Well, the Patriots had their own fair share of interior linemen that could play center as well. And so Bradbury became expendable, someone that you can move off from because they had younger talent that was under contract for a cheaper price. The Bears were able to come in and get him for his last year of his contract that's still available. So he's on he still has 1 year left on his deal. So to your point though, okay. Joe, to your point though, it makes sense for the Bears to draft a center. You know, in doing research, doing my due diligence, Joe, you quickly find out that it's very rare for a rookie center to be starting in the NFL. It's just very rare because you got to control the line of scrimmage, call out the protections, you know, really be the anchor of that, as we saw with Drew Dolman. And so more often than not, if you take a center in the first few rounds, it's someone that's going to develop under the system. So to your point, everything I'm saying is only to strengthen your argument for the Bears to take a center. And it is that, you know, if you can get one in the third round, second round with your second pick, and that could be someone that you can develop to be your center for the next 5 to 6 years, then that is something that they're going to want to do. Because again, Bradbury is nothing more than a placeholder. So I'm sure they're going to want to address it. And you bring up Pat Coogan, who's great. There's also a center, I forgot his name, I'll look it up in a second, from Iowa, who's most were linking him to Chicago as well in the later rounds. So two Big Ten guys, you know, that could potentially be there, but it's definitely a position of need for the Chicago Bears.
Thank you so much for the insight, man. I always love talking to you, Gabe.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Love talking to you too, brother. Thanks for the call. Always call in. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Bears take Dylan Thienemann, a safety out of Oregon, and he's now your starter alongside Kobe Bryant. We're taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Of course, hanging out with you all the way till 5 o'clock. This is when Dustin Rhodes takes over, leading you right into Mully and Haw. They got Brad Biggs at 7. Then Coach wants that at 8. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about Dylan Thienemann. You got that name of that center, Grant?
I do.
What is it, from Iowa?
Logan Jones.
Oh, big boy. Tight ends and centers. That's what Iowa's known for.
And guards, Marshionda.
True. The only thing they're not known, scoring points over
that
there.
That is true.
Over there in
that
Iowa. Is true.
Actually, they had a run of running backs recently.
True, but didn't their running back that from last year suck on the Steelers, Caleb Johnson?
Caleb Johnson had an okay year. I wouldn't say he had a terrible year.
He had a bad year.
Why? Did you draft him in fantasy?
No, I didn't. I was fortunate enough not to. I'm glad that I got sniped in those situations. But yeah, he couldn't even like get on the field at certain points throughout the season. But
you remember Snell Jr. from Iowa?
No.
You don't? Okay, he was another Iowa running back that got drafted. No, actually, Snell went to Kentucky. What am I thinking of? But there was
it's
another.
It's 3:45 in the morning. Don't worry. Don't worry, bro. I'm thinking about cuddling with my wife right now. I'm telling you, I'm like, damn, when I get in the bed, I'm just going to cuddle up.
I'm going to do the same thing with a fiance. So I'm going to go right in the bed.
You know exactly what that is. All right, I want you guys to be able to hang out with me on Saturday. Tomorrow, you can join the Illinois Lottery and me, Gabe Ramirez. I'm going to be at the South Holland BP gas station. It's at 951 East 162nd Street in South Holland. I'm going to be there from 11 a.m. to 1. All right, so you ain't got to hang out with me overnight. You can hang out with me during the daytime when the sun's out. And we're going to be celebrating Hot Wins. It's from the Illinois Lottery. It's one of their newer games. And the first 20 people that come up to me and say, get fired up, they're going to receive a free Hot Wins ticket and an Illinois Lottery swag bag. So come hang out with me again Saturday, 11 to 1, that's tomorrow, at the BP in South Holland, 951 East 162nd Street. Must be 18 or older to play. Be smart, play smart. Game odds available at illinoislottery.com. All right, I do want to play Ryan Poles because I want you to hear what your general manager had to say about his first defensive player that he's ever selected in the first round and the first Bears defensive player since 2018. Here's Ryan Poles discussing Dylan Thienemann.
We'll open up to questions.
Ryan, when did Thienemann first come on your radar and maybe some of your first impressions of watching him?
Yeah. So when we do our meetings, we go, we take the average of like the high grades from the fall and we work, you know, from the top down. And when we started the safety position, there's a couple good ones that we liked. But Dylan's tape popped out, like just a sense of urgency that he plays with, the speed. We talk about taking the air, you know, out of the defense or out of the offense. His ability to close on the football, both in the run and the pass, stood out really, really quick. And as we watched it, the comments you could hear, I mean, this guy is obsessed with football, plays fast. He's extremely smart, great leader, violent in the way that he plays the game, everything that we're looking for. Then on top of that, you have some versatility. If he has to, he can go over and play a little bit of nickel. He can play free, he can play strong. So really good fit for what we're trying to do.
How do you describe the aggressiveness in his play style?
Oh, it's the aggressiveness. I mean, it flies up the tape. He's a violent football player. He strikes. There's a knockback element to his tackling. And again, just the speed, there's like speed and there's like violent speed in terms of just the explosion off the spot. And that's what he brings. And it's pretty easy tape to watch. Yeah.
Ryan, what went into the weighing hit Dylan's strengths versus some pretty good candidates that were still there at defensive tackle, defensive end?
Yeah. On our board, again, you know, we're talking about the board talking to you. He was standing out. He was elevated on the board at a spot. So we kind of work lateral and see who else is up there. And he was the number one in our priority list. We take the board before, obviously, all this kicks off when we sequence it. And he was the top sequence guy on our board.
Were there any anxious moments as he kind of had the board going? He was clearly your guy. Like they said, the board was wide open. Was it getting anxious as he got closer and closer?
Yeah, it was. I think I've talked about our simulator uses some mock, hundreds of mocks to kind of hone in and give us different challenges as we're picking to go through and simulate the draft. it was 50-50 with him oftentimes. So we weren't sure if he was going to make it. I think there was a lot. I think he was 18, seemed to be the spot that everyone said he was going to. We knew that if he got past that, there was a good chance. We, in our sequence, we had probably two more guys that were close. So we knew that we were going to get a good football player. They were all, I drew a line on our top 100 of ones that we would be looking to trade back, trade up. And it fell where we had a couple guys there in the sequence. So we looked to potentially move back a little bit. There wasn't much interest right behind us where we felt comfortable in terms of the numbers. So we just moved forward, and we loved the player, so we were excited about it.
What pressure is there in a situation where you need a day one starter to go in and then be able to land that guy, but just like the process of getting him, how do you feel in that, and what is it like as you start to see
the top guys on the board? There's a couple situations where potentially could be in a position where we have starters, but we would have, very similar to last year, right, with Cole and Colson. It just happened for this one that the sequence landed right on a need. So he's going to have the ability to come in and compete for a starting role, and obviously that's going to be an open spot where those guys are going to compete, and the tape tells us he's going to have a really good opportunity to do that. But this was a really cool opportunity where, again, the need and best player available fell the way that we needed it to.
Ryan, this offseason, you and Ben both talked about the need to get better pass rush. From the outside, is there still a way to do that in your mind on day two of the draft? And if you don't, you just have to hope the guys in house.
Yeah, I think both those things are true. I think there's some opportunity for guys on the board still. And then absolutely just what these guys are working on this week was for that group to continue to get better so they can be more effective. I know the coaches spent a lot of time in the offseason detailing where spots where they feel like we can get better, maybe some tweaks in what we're doing, the way we're coaching things. And then naturally, just a second year in the system, you would think that some of these guys would continue to get better and elevate their game. And then if you help the secondary, like, you know, they're related to a degree. Obviously, the D-line helps the back end more often than not. But in this situation where, you know, we have good corners, good safeties, we can be in a position where maybe we can have the quarterback hold the ball a little longer.
Did the edge rushers kind of break the way you thought they would?
Yeah.
Considering the combination of Kobe and Dylan and the speed you added back there, what strikes you about what you do with those two guys and how fast they are?
Yeah, I think you just match up better. You eliminate, you know, every time we, especially like our pro staff, when we do an advance on our opponent, we're looking for targets, looking for guys that we can find mismatches on and expose. So when you have speed and you have a lot of guys that can cover in different spots, your ability to hang in there, cover longer while you're bringing pressure, things like that, enhances the entire defense.
Breck mentioned with the combination of Kobe and Dylan that there's no weaknesses between the two of them because they can do everything. What does that do for a defense when your secondary, I mean, that would just point to the secondary being the strength of this defense. What can that do in year two with Dennis having that?
Yeah, that group can elevate. Obviously, there's a lot of turnovers. You can increase that number, which is going to be, you know, a big challenge for those guys. But I think just, like I said, taking the air out. Anytime we've seen a defense and you feel like it's suffocating because of the speed, that's what we're trying to do.
Right. He goes from Purdue to Oregon. Where did you see the most development? Like, why does he really take off once that change is made?
Yeah. You know, there's plenty. I mean, you can mature, continue to grow in just your understanding of the game, getting bigger, stronger, faster, different schemes, coaches. So there's a lot of things that could potentially go into that. You know, he his first year as a freshman, I think he had 6 interceptions and was really, really active too. So when we worked through all of his tape, there's a lot of things that popped up from the time his first year to his last year.
Yeah, Brett talked about the football character. How did that jump out to you throughout the process of getting to know him?
Yeah, it's off the charts. And we have so many good sources in terms of guys that he's played with, and that's all the way from Westfield High School all the way to Oregon, and the feedback that we got was incredible. I think one of our guys, probably Brett, came down to talk to you, and I don't know if you mentioned it, but you know, we had talked about this as a very similar type person, player combination to what Colson was. The work ethic, again, that passion for ball was off the charts. We grade on a scale 1 to 9. There's no fives and there's no twos because I don't want – there's no fence grades. There's a lot of sevens and eights when you look across this guy's character. So really happy with the type of person we're bringing in.
Is it the combo of football character and kind of the speed that makes you feel good about a safety in round one where there aren't a lot of them that go in round one and you can oftentimes find pretty good ones a little bit later on in the draft when you think about positional value?
Yeah, you got to look at versatility. So if it's a safety and it's a kind of old school box safety that maybe doesn't have a lot of coverage, you know, value probably stays down just a little bit. So that's why we felt comfortable taking Dylan where he was. There's versatility, so there's multiple positions he can play. On top of the ability to cover the range, helping in the pass game, third down. And then when you got Kyler, you got Kobe, you got guys that you can do a lot of different things to confuse the defense. That was kind of on the checklist of a safety taking in one and grading them where we had him graded.
Ryan, Ben has complimented safeties in the past, like during the season. Like, what was his reaction? What was his input on
Dylan? Yeah, he was fired up. We spent time together. He would come in and watch tape with our group. And this was one of the guys that we had on when he was in. And, I mean, I can now feel Ben. Like, he doesn't have to say anything. I can feel his, like, body language start to, like, get excited about somebody. And you could feel it. Because, again, it's that style of play that he has that, like I said, is contagious. It's the type of player that we want on our football team.
Is there anything that surprised you from the first round tonight?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into other people's picks.
One more, please. A walk-off
pick at Penn State as a signature play. What struck you about just the moment and the actual play that he made?
Yeah, we want players that can rise to the level. We plan on playing a lot of big games moving forward. I'm sure, I don't know what the schedule is going to be, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of primetime games. There's going to be hopefully we're back and deep into the playoffs. So we need guys that thrive in those moments. So when you show those things, we feel even better about you.
When you look at your board heading into tomorrow and the three picks that you have, how do you feel about your needs and the way things kind of shook out?
Yeah, a lot of good options. I'll say this was probably the most aggressive we were in terms of the guys that we really like they have to play our style. They got to have the right makeup in terms of our scheme fits, like all of that had to be there. If it wasn't there, you're off the board. We were really aggressive with it, so when you look at it, it feels really thin. But that's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing because we're very selective of who we want. Now there's some historical numbers that I have that makes me feel confident that there's going to be guys that we like still available to us. So thankfully, the numbers are high enough where, you know, I'll be able to sleep a little bit tonight. So
we'll put you guys in that space to be more aggressive. Is it the clear vision from the coaching staff? Is it the process, the point you are in the process of roster building?
I would say both. Just confidence in our system. And then again, this staff is unbelievable. We're just giving clarity. And I think as we continue to work with each other, we're going to know exactly what we're looking for. So why mess around with, you know, those that don't fit what we're trying to do? And then we're having conversations in, you know, the summertime and in the fall of why that guy can't play for us or, you know, it's not a fit. So, I think both things are true. Just confidence in the system. Our scouts do an unbelievable job gathering information, and then our coaching staff is really clear with what they're looking for. So it's a really good marriage.
I know these guys are kind of versatile, but do you see Kobe as more strength at free and Dylan and strong, or do you do a lot of matching based on coverages?
Well, I think now, and that's probably a better question for DA, but I'm sure depending on who we're going against, he can do different things. Probably makes everything look the same, but do different things out of it, which as an offense is difficult to prepare for.
That it is. Ryan Poles talking about Dylan Thienemann, getting into the weeds of what he looked like on tape and why the Bears pulled the trigger. Ultimately, there was a hole to be filled, and again, they talked about it. They were going to take best player available, but if it was a position of need, it would have two stickers on it. Certainly Dylan Thienemann, a guy that had both. All right, we're going to take your phone calls on the other side, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the draft pick, Dylan Thienemann? Did you want an edge at that position, or are you over the moon that the Bears got themselves a starter in Dylan Thienemann? 312-644-6767. Got about an hour left with you, but your calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.